Do you want to change the way you speak English and speak English faster? Then you need to learn word chunks. Word chunks are basically about connecting the words in a sentence. Think about Lego blocks that instead of separate pieces scattered around, they are put together to form something really special. So stick around because today we're going to be putting connected speech and word chunks in practice and you will see how these connections apply in real conversations. So Xenia, as we always say here at Real Life English, the best way to practice the language is by using real, relevant content and media. So in order for us to get this pronunciation, word chunk, connected speech practice in today, I actually brought a nice clip from a podcast for us to watch together and also discuss not only the topic, but also explain the pronunciation of the connected speech here and maybe some vocabulary as well. It's a topic on relationships. So to kick off the conversation, before we watch the clip, I would like to ask you, what do you consider extremely necessary for a successful long-term committed relationship?
I think from my personal experience, I would answer that spending enough quality time together to give yourself the opportunity to bond with your partner, with your kids. We're talking about marriage, right? So basically it's about your second half. It's quality time, spending quality time together.
Awesome. What is bond, by the way? You said the word bond.
That's the connection, that special chemistry you build, this relationship, this trust you build with your partner.
Interesting. I would add to that also communication. Open, honest, and frequent communication is really important.
Active listening as well. Communication for me is not only like one way. Yeah. So it always should be like this nice saying, like it takes two to tango. Communication here is the same. Yeah. Like active listening and communicating.
Cool. So the clip we're going to watch now from this podcast is exactly about that. It's a clip from the Tim Ferriss podcast and the guest is Brené Brown and she's talking about marriage and she shares something really cool here about how you can succeed in our long-term relationships. All right. So just like there is a special bond or connection that you have to nurture in a relationship. Talking about English pronunciation, let's say that there is a special bond and connection between the words that it's important that you guys as learners pay attention to how the words connect and how the sounds are formed, all right? So let's watch the clip and get started.
The other two hacks that I think have saved our marriage, besides just showing up and kind of using some of these things like what's working, what was hard, is the 80-20. So everyone says marriage should be 50-50. It's the biggest crock of bullshit I've ever heard. It's never 50-50.
Yeah.
Ever. And so what we do is we quantify where we are. So if Steve comes home and he'll be like, I got 20.
Just in terms of energy.
Just energy, investment, kindness, patience. I'm at 20. And I'll be like, I'll cover you. I got you, brother. I'll pull the 80. Sometimes we come home, which we have done a lot. My mom has been sick and I'll say, I've got 10. And Steve, like 2 days ago said, I'm riding a solid 25. So we know that we have to sit down at the table anytime we have less than 100 combined and figure out a plan of kindness toward each other.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, because the thing is, marriage is not something that's 50-50. A partnership works when you can carry their 20 or they can carry your 20. And that when you both just have 20, you have a plan where you don't hurt each other.
Nice. So talking about the approach here, this reminds me of when I was learning English many years ago, Xenia. Whenever I saw a clip like that, I would really pay attention to certain phrases. So for example, one phrase that caught my attention here was the very first one that she says. She says, just showing up. You see how she connected everything there? Yeah, she goes, just showing up. So first of all, the T for just is not really there. It's a stop consonant, just. And then the G for showing is also kind of not voiced. So it's almost like you are joining the N for showing with the up, the vowel U. So showing up, showing up. So she goes, just showing up, just showing up.
That's what happens exactly. when we talk and when there's this connected speech, right? It's just like you and your brain perceives it not like a separate word by word in a sentence, but like rather like chunks that you mention, yeah?
So that's what a chunk is, right? It's a group, like just showing up. It's almost one sound that you're making, even though you have three words.
It makes it possible for us to analyze the information quicker and speak faster, because if we, like in terms of understanding, if we heard it just like showing and then up, our brain would first start searching for the meanings of the verb to show. But it's not mm-hmm. to show, it's showing up, which is something different, right? By the way, what does it mean to show up?
That is a good point that you're making there. So in this context here, she's talking about relationships and marriage. So I think she means working actively on the relationship and not passively. You show up, meaning that you do your part to make it work. But in general, showing up could be being consistent with a habit, for example. Let's say you want to practice your English every day for 15 minutes. If you do that every day, we can call this showing up. You show up. You do what you need to do.
Yeah, well said.
Xena, anything else caught your attention here related to the pronunciation of the connected speech here?
So there is this very common, it's not a filler word, but maybe it is, like kind of, when we want to say something, but we're not very specific. Like we say something like, for example, so we can use the word kinda using, she was saying, yeah, Brené used this phrase, kinda using some of these things. And the connected speech here is kind of turns into kinda. And that's very common to hear, right, in the native speech.
It is, yeah. So if you want to pronounce it fully, you can. You could say of, but then you can say kind of using. It's also in quick succession. Kind of using, or you can make that reduction you just explained, right? Kind of using. To bring the Lego analogy back to the conversation, that's exactly it, right? Because we have kind of using. Think about each word as one Lego block. Kind is one piece or one block, and of and using is another. But let's put this together and let's form, in this case, one unit of sound. Kind of using or kind of using, right? Do you enjoy watching our videos here on the channel and learning with us? There are many other people out there who still don't know about this channel. So please help us reach those people by subscribing. If you are already a subscriber, share this channel with your friends and family so they can tell their friends and family, and then more people can get to know the awesome content we are putting out here. Because our goal is to help you go from feeling like a lost, insecure English learner to becoming a confident, natural English speaker. So help us help more people by subscribing and sharing this channel with your contacts. Xena, Brené here talks about the 80-20, and she's going to explain what she means by that. But as a general concept, what is the 80-20?
I remember I heard this from you because it seems to me you were reading a book or something, right, about 80-20 principle. And I think you would put it better in words than me. But as I understand it, is that very often what you were talking about, like sometimes 20% of something brings the 80% of result. But here in this context, what she means is that, because later in the clip, she says that relationships are never 50-50. So she talks about percentage. Yeah, like, for example, I give today 80% of my energy. Yeah. Of my commitment, and you give 20 because you are lower, at a lower level of energy. Yeah, is that how it goes here?
Yeah, I think she's using it in a more literal sense here.
Yeah,
like yeah. You said, in terms of percentage of energy investment, patience in a relationship. But you're right. Usually when we talk about the 80-20, it's related to that general principle of doing only the necessary things or the most important things that will bring the most results in your life, right?
So it's interesting, it's the same numbers here, 80 and 20. I also notice in this expression, 80-20, the connected speech, this phenomenon that in a combination of letters and T, natives usually drop the T sound, right? So it's not 20, it's 20.
That is true. Yeah, especially in American English, right? Because in British English, maybe you might hear people pronouncing the T's more often, like 80 and 20, the 80-20, like that. Since she's American, it makes perfect sense that she goes 80-20. So first of all, the T there for 80 is a flap sound, da-da-da, right? 80, 80. And then we have the 20 that you mentioned, right? The NT. You've already explained that briefly, Xenia, but when she says marriage should be 50-50, what's that? Like, you know, everyone says marriage should be 50-50. What does that mean? Marriage should be 50-50.
It's a common assumption that there is sort of give and take to a relationship. So I give my 50% and you give your 50%, and that what builds this partnership. We are equals. And I actually like that Brené here debunks this myth, saying that it's never true, like ever. She even emphasized it, like it's never, ever true that it's 50-50. And I kind of agree, because we all, as human beings, we have our ups and downs, highs and lows, right? And you just can't be 100%, can't bring your best self like every day. So what's important in a relationship that you have that other person you trust, you rely on, who can, like she says, pull your 20. Yeah,
that is true. Yeah, I love that, because I think it goes well with the idea that life is not black and white. If you say that a long-term relationship is 50-50, you see that's smack in the middle. It's too black and white. And as we all know, life is not black and white. It's full of shades, different shades of gray. So the fact that she is actually advocating for 80-20 makes more sense. Sometimes you don't even have 10% to give in a relationship, right? Because things happen. And then you use that nice word, right, Xenia? She debunks this myth of the 50-50. We've already used this word many times. It means to prove that a belief is wrong. And the way she does that is by using this phrase. This idea of the 50-50 is the biggest crock of bullshit I've ever heard. Could you explain that? Like, what is a crock of something?
Crock of something is like, we use this word when we want to say that something is bullshit, nonsense. That we just like, you know, I won't be using those bad words here, but yeah, actually it's like nonsense.
Yeah, yeah. And about the connected speech, that is really interesting, because there's a lot going on here. It's we were talking in the intro here that the trick is noticing how the words connect, especially in longer sentences. This is one example of a longer sentence, guys. So we have, it's the biggest. Here you have your pieces, right? Your blocks. So she goes, it's the biggest. It's the biggest. So again, that T for biggest kind of disappears. It's a stop consonant. It's the biggest. It's the biggest. If you guys are listening to us now at the gym, for example, running on the treadmill or something, you can repeat along with us. Yeah, come on. It's the biggest. It's the biggest. Like that. And then she continues, crock of bullshit. I believe she reduces of here, Xenia, the same way you explained earlier, right?
Crock of bullshit. Yeah, so off is reduced to a schwa sound. It's just like we hear and the two words link together, like crock of bullshit.
Really cool, yeah? So crock of bullshit becomes crock of bullshit. Crock of bullshit. Crock of bullshit. And then she says, I've ever heard. I've ever heard. One difficulty I notice in students sometimes is pronouncing the contractions or the abbreviations like that, because I've is an abbreviation for I have. The full version here is I have ever heard. I usually see students reading the contraction but not actually speaking it. They tend to speak fully, like I have ever heard. But you see, to practice this, we can go I've ever.
This is something you have to practice. And you know, actually, I notice it right now. My kid has her English classes and they already see contractions like this in their textbooks, and she stops for a minute to understand what it is, because she knows I have, but I've, she's right now in the process of learning what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. So Xenia, could you read this entire sentence, but applying all these connected speech features we just discussed?
Yeah, sure. So is the biggest crock of bullshit I've ever heard.
It's the biggest crock of bullshit I've ever heard.
Very nice. You spoke that last sentence like really quickly, and that's amazing, right? So it's the biggest crock of bullshit. But you see, it's that word chunk thing again. We are chunking all these words together, like putting them in a group and almost just making one sound.
Yeah, it's also emphasizing and stressing the function words like got reduced, but we stress the main words in the sentence, right?
Yeah. And ideally, for you guys out there who are listening to us, you should be doing this, also playing the clip again. Here, because of time, we are just talking about it and we are now replaying the clip. But ideally, you would listen to that sentence, for example, multiple times so that you really make sure you get all the connections right. Because, for example, maybe if you listen again, you might notice that even the T for bullshit is joined with the I for I've, with a flap sound. So she goes, bullshit I've, bullshit I've. So you see, there's another connection there, but maybe if you listen just once, you might not pick it up. That's why it's important for you to listen to it multiple times. So bullshit I've ever heard. And then she goes on, Xenia, by saying it's never 50-50, ever. I find interesting the word ever here. You guys can just memorize this. Whenever you say a sentence with never, if you want to emphasize what you just said, you can end the sentence with ever. So she's going, it's never 50-50. To be more emphatic to her point, she goes, ever. All right? So for example, I never wake up late. Ever. You see, I'm just emphasizing what I just said about waking up late.
Yeah, what I also wanted to add here is that sometimes these two words go together, like never, ever. Yeah, so my example would be, I'll never, ever let you down.
Very nice, because normally you could just say, I'll never let you down. But if you really want to reassure the other person, you could go, I'll never, ever let you down. And it's a typical sentence you could use with your partner in a romantic relationship, right? What does it mean when you let someone down?
You betray them in a way that you don't meet their expectations, or you break your promise, for example.
Yeah, you disappoint them, right? That reminds me of that Beatles song, Don't Let Me Down. You know, don't let me down. You know, Xenia, what else did we notice here in terms of pronunciation and connected speech?
Yeah, so there are two more instances where we have this NT reduction. So we drop the sound T in the word quantify. Quantify is to express in numbers, right? To show some number. And again, 20, when she brings this example, when she comes home and she says that I got 20. She again drops the T in 20.
I got 20 and quantify.
Quantify, right.
And I really found interesting that she goes, she was talking about her husband, Steve. And then she says, he'll be like, I got 20. I did a podcast with Ethan recently and we actually defined that. So you can use this short phrase, he was like, I'll be like, I'm like, when you want to preface what you or somebody else speaks or says. So she's going, basically she's saying, if Steve comes home and he says, I got 20, it's the same thing as he says, he'll be like.
I believe that was the podcast with Ariana Grande in her song. So this is like, it comes from the lyrics of this song, yeah?
Yeah. But you see how amazing it is, right, Xenia, to practice your English with real media and real content. So there is the song, music, yeah, that you can use. Now we are working with a podcast clip on a very interesting topic. You see, so this is what we call living your English, right? Because living your English is about consuming content that is relevant to you. And we are also activating our English here as well, because activating your English has to do with that curiosity, that deliberate stopping, pausing, analyzing the language, just like we are doing right now. We are actually deliberately, intentionally analyzing the language. How the guest speaks the phrases, and how we can speak it as well. So this is activating. So guys, if you really want to take your English to the next level, you got to combine these two elements, living your English and also activating it. Are you trying to improve vocabulary? I know it can be hard to find great tools to help you master English vocabulary. But you know what? The Real Life English app can be the ultimate companion that you need to master new words, phrasal verbs, and expressions. With the app, you can practice new vocabulary using intelligent flashcards. Our app works with a spaced repetition system, which presents you with the words you're trying to learn at strategic times, so you never forget them again. Here's what one app user has to say.
It's a great app for all kinds of English levels. Now I can speak confidently and correctly with this app. Also, I've increased my vocabulary bank.
We understand that consistent progress comes from small but actionable steps. So let me invite you right now to take one small but powerful step for your English fluency. Download the app. You can find the link in the description and try it out today. And Xenia, moving on here, she goes, I'll cover you. I got you, brother. If Steve, her husband, says, look, I only have 20 today. I got 20. Like, my energy is really low. She says, I got you, brother. What is the connected speech here?
Yeah, so when the word ends in T and the next word starts with Y, very often we have this ch sound. The new sound appears in the combination of T, Y letters. So I got you instead of I got you.
Mm-hmm. This ch sound, mm-hmm. right? I got you.
Got you.
Mm-hmm. This is a really cool thing that she's sharing here, right? Basically, it's about if your partner is not right there, like, you know, the person is not at a high level of energy or investment or patience, you carry that person's 80, right? As she puts it. Really beautiful, yeah?
It reminds me, Thiago, about, do you remember the chapter in Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Successful People about the emotional bank account? So there are those deposits and withdrawals. So basically, when you selflessly commit to showing up and, you know, bringing that extra energy for your partner, you make a deposit, yeah, into your bank account, emotional bank account. And that's something that is also very important in relationship, because we, unfortunately or not, but we all have some kind of expectations. As I already said, it's so hard to be always 100%, bring your best self. And when you don't meet those expectations of your partner, inevitably, there is some kind of frustration, right? It happens. It's just like natural. So in order to keep that balance, to keep that emotional bank account always profitable in terms of your emotions, your relationships, your trust, it's always good to remember from time to time just to contribute value to your relationship. Yeah, to have that, you know, to make deposits. To cover up those withdrawals that also happen in relationships.
Yeah, I love that idea of the emotional bank account, because it's literally this. Imagine you do something nice for your partner. Maybe you were more patient than he or she that day, or more giving, more loving and supportive. It's like a little credit that you are, you know, having for yourself in the future. So that in the future, if you are the impatient one, the one that is really frustrated, you can use that, like you said, you can withdraw that credit, right, in this case, or that you deposited before. I really like that. This reminds me of something I heard actually from my wife's grandmother. You know, we were once having, I think, dinner at my mother-in-law's house, and my wife's grandma, she's in her 90s now, you know, and but, you know, she's super lucid. She was married for many years, and now she's a widow. But, you know, she raised 3 kids, one of them being my mother-in-law today. And then once she told me, she said that in a relationship, if the other person is really angry or mad, you should be the calm one, the oasis, you know. So because if you feed into the same negative feeling the other person is feeling, things just escalate. So if one person is really freaking out, frustrated, tired, whatever it is, you need to try to be the opposite, at least in that moment, which is kind of connected to what we are discussing here. Yeah, and Brené is saying, It's about pulling the other person's 80 whenever necessary.
Tiago, let me ask you, when you were talking about your wife's grandma, you used the word lucid. Could you define it?
Yeah.
What is lucid?
We usually use that word for, especially when we're talking about elders or elderly people. If an elderly person is lucid, it means that the person still has their brain working well, working normally, just like a younger person's. Usually, the older you get, the more, let's say, problems related to your mental capability appear. But in her case, I mean, she can hold a conversation, she can think clearly, so she's lucid.
Teach you some lessons on how to keep your marriage healthy.
Yeah, you see, you gotta listen to the old and wise.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's how they say it, yeah.
Getting back to the clip here, Xena, and the connected speech, Brené continues by saying, sometimes we come home, which we've done a lot.
Which we have done a lot.
I really like this connection here because, first of all, we have done, she goes, we've done, which we've done. And then you can also connect the which we, which we've done a lot. The A there, the article, is also a schwa sound, and the T for lot is not pronounced fully. It's a stop consonant again, a lot, which we've done a lot, which we've done a lot. And this is also interesting to point out, guys, because, for example, as we are going through this clip here now, Xenia, I've already explained more than once about the stop consonant, the stop T, like lot, which means that, guys, there are patterns. These patterns tend to be repeated in the language. So if you are able to identify those patterns, it becomes much easier for you to start understanding and also speaking this way in a more connected, faster manner.
Yeah, and there are also those groups of words that usually go together. So when you are exposed to those clips, videos, with like real interviews, real conversations, just try to pick up which words just go together and use them, because it's a more natural way to speak, right? When you use those connections, those chunks, smaller chunks.
You mentioned earlier in the episode today about the importance of active listening, listening with intention, attention, deliberately. Just now, you were, you know, talking, and I was paying attention to what you were saying, and I noticed that you said, go together. So you see, you didn't pronounce the two there, go together, but go together. This is a nice phrase here from the clip. I'm riding a solid 25. When Brené Brown was talking about her husband, Steve, she said, oh, my husband sometimes says, I'm riding a solid 25. What mm-hmm. does that mean?
Mm-hmm. I see it. I don't know. You might add to my explanation, Tiago, but I saw it like, imagine a surfer who rides a wave, right? So his wave is pretty low right now, but he's riding it. He's riding a solid 25, right? Solid in this yeah. case is stable. So he says that I feel sure that I have this 25%, right? And I'm riding on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's it. It's just a more colloquial way of saying this. Basically, what he's saying here is, look, today, my energy level is a stable 25%. I'm riding a solid 25. It's almost like a fun way to say that. I like the wave analogy, though. Yeah, my wave is really weak yeah. today and really shallow. You know, I'm riding a low wave of energy. Yeah. I like that. What else do we have here to point out, Xenia, from this clip?
So I think I use this phrase a lot, figure out something. So she says that when they both don't have 100% combined, they have to figure out a plan of kindness, right? So figure out is to come up with something, is to solve something, come to some solution after thinking over. And there is a connected speech here, figure out a plan, because the T from out is between two vowels. It turns into a flap T, right? With this duh sound. Figure out a plan.
And finally, she says, the thing is, and then she continues with her idea, yeah, that marriage is not something that's 50-50, but it's actually more 80-20. But this little phrase here, the thing is, you can use to, again, preface what you want to say, to prepare the other person to whatever you're going to explain next. Like, look, what I want to say is, the thing is, and then you go, right? I really like that. It makes your speech more natural.
Yeah, that's the thing. You sound more natural, and also you, in a communication, so you draw attention to what you are about to say is important. So please pay attention to this.
For you guys out there listening to us, as you've noticed, we've defined a lot of nice phrases here today and vocabulary. So if you want to take your vocabulary to the next level, don't forget to download the Real Life English app. You can practice vocabulary there with intelligent flashcards, with images, definitions, examples. So you're missing out if you're not using the app yet. And since our focus today was on connected speech, pretty soon we are working towards adding connected speech features in the app, so you can also practice these connections and sounds inside the app as well. But do check it out, download the app, because you don't want to miss it. All right, Xena, a wonderful clip, really nice conversation, but now I want to see what you are digging this week to wrap up this episode.
I'm happy that this weekend I was able to finish a book I was reading for our Fluto Circle book club. The book was The Metamorphoses by Kafka. And what I liked, actually, I am rereading this short story because it's in our school program and I read it at school. What I liked this time is I noticed, so I took note of so many things that I overlooked as a young reader. And it really fascinates me how I'm right now, with all the background, with all the knowledge, with a wider worldview, how much more I can notice in such important works of art.
Could you give me one example maybe now, off the top of your head, of something that you overlooked as a younger reader, but now reading the book again, you were like, oh. You know?
Yeah, so I think as a young reader, what caught my attention was primarily this transformation of a human into a vermin, into a bug. So that's the only thing that was, oh, wow. And that was this supernatural thing about it that was captivating. But right now I paid attention more to the relationships, what we were talking exactly about today, to the relationship in the family towards this poor guy who turned into a bug, how his sister, who she really loved and they really had that bond, how she changes her attitudes towards him and how his parents also change. And he, in his turn, doesn't change at all. I mean, his inner side, his inner world doesn't change. He changed how he looks, right? His looks changed, but he didn't change this inner world.
Wow, that's such an in-depth analysis of the character. But it's interesting because you're only able to get that analysis now, maybe older, more experienced. So
I don't even think I paid attention to it. Yeah, reading in school, really. Really?
Yeah. So what I get from this story is it's important for us to maybe periodically come back to books that we've read in the past or movies or any type of thing that we consumed in the past.
Definitely.
After a few years, because maybe older, your experience is much different consuming that content, right?
I 100% believe in that. There is always something to pick up, something different.
And speaking of books, Xenia, I can also share a book that I've started reading recently called Antifragile by Nassim Taleb. And I'm only at the beginning now, but it's a really interesting book because it talks about this concept of antifragility, which is about being able to withstand or endure hardships, obstacles, difficult moments in your life. But not only that, but getting better each time you face a challenge, a stressor, an obstacle. Being a resilient is a personal value that I have, the importance of resilience. But what I'm hoping to get from this book is actually a higher level understanding of resilience, because resilience is just about enduring things and going through them without maybe fading, right? But the concept of being anti-fragile is that plus improving. It's not just, you know, overcoming obstacles with sheer brute force, but also improving each time you go through a challenging situation. So that is a book I'm digging in the moment.
Nice. Interesting.
All right, guys. So I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode and conversation. I hope you enjoyed these connected speech and pronunciation features of English here, and also the clip that we listened together and discussed. Stay tuned for next week's episode coming your way. And remember, a free way for you to support us is by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. And if you are on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe to the channel so you don't miss a single new video. And of course, remember that no matter what divides us, that which unites us is far greater. 1, 2, 3. Do you find it hard to think in English? Are you always translating in your head? Do you speak slowly because, you know, first you have to think about your idea in your native language, translate it to English, and then say it? Believe me, I know exactly how that feels. After all, I also had to learn English as a second language, just like you. So stick around because today we're going to share some tips with you to help you start thinking in English and say goodbye to translation once and for all.